This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning and welcome to The Gardening Show. I'm Igor here with the Master Gardener, Bob Harris. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Igor.
Oh, it is gorgeous outside.
Yeah.
It's been a little on the warm side the last few days, but I am not complaining.
No.
Plenty of sunshine. The plant life is happy with that. They got their sun food.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Yeah, it's kind of neat to see everything really springing back to life.
And then my weeds really love it. Because, boy, oh, boy, I cut the lawn and then the next day... Oh, boy. Got all kinds of stuff popping up. But what's on the agenda today?
Yeah, that's kind of funny because I wanted to talk about grass today.
Okay, great.
It was brought up last week there, a lady. And so I thought I'd take the time to go in a little more detail about the grass. And I'm going to talk about some other things today, too.
Because that's a plant just about every one of us has.
Yeah, indeed. Yep.
So...
So, number one, grass grows a little different than all other plants. Most plants add on material from the top. Grass does not. If you really look closely at your grass, you can always see a cut end. So, grass grows from the ground. They call it the basal end. Just a short distance above the ground, it pushes the blade up. That's a little bit about how a grass grows. But the lady asked about seeding, and so I wanted to go into a little more detail about that. You know, if you got a, I'll cover all different situations. If you got a big area to seed, of course you want to put down the topsoil if you don't have it already. And then smooth it out as much as possible. Believe me, the smoother the lawn, the easier it is going to be to mow and care for in the long run. So then next, we want to maybe rake that area to kind of rough the surface. And you'll see why here in a minute. And then if it is a brand new area, we're probably going to want to add some lime and fertilizer. And then we're going to put down the grass seed. Then we're going to rake it in. We want to get dirt covering as much of the grass seed as we possibly can. And then it's always a good idea to roll it then. That presses that grass seed in firmly into the soil. Then we want to add straw, not hay. Hay has a lot of weed seeds in it that will bother us for the rest of our life. So straw has a lot less weed seed, and spread it to the point where you can still see the soil. Don't spread it to the point where you can't see any soil anymore. So you want to still be able to see the soil so sunlight can get in there to germinate that seed. So normally a bale of straw will cover a 20 by 20 area, if that helps you out. So we want to spread it. Don't let clumps lay down. Try to spread it thinly. Take your time to do that. And then what I like to do is, because I always fear wind coming and blowing my straw away, I like to roll it once more right on top of the straw to press all that straw down. Then I can water it. And you want that first watering should be really heavy to the point where it's starting to puddle or to make little tiny streams. Then you want to stop. That's going to be wet enough. So that first watering is real important. Got to really soak the area. And then, of course, depending on the weather, you may have to water a couple times a week to keep it wet until it germinates and starts to grow. Then we want to let it continue to grow till it reaches a height of 3 inches. Before we'll do our first mowing. And of course, most mowers nowadays, mulching mowers, will take care of all that straw. It'll take some time. You know, it'd probably be till next year. Everything in gardening takes a long time. It'll be till next year where all that straw will disappear. You don't have to rake it up. Now, if you have covered an area a little bit too thickly with straw, yeah, after that first mow, then you can try to rake that up, but very gently because, again, those plants are new. So that you can, by raking them, uproot them very easily. So I recommend just to keep mowing until all that straw gets chopped up and disappears. And that's how you would do a full yard.
A full yard.
Now,
yes.
If you just got little bald spots.
Yeah, I tried to patch some bald spots.
Oh.
It didn't work.
It didn't work?
No.
I forgot about this.
Because I didn't put anything over it.
Oh. This is the most important part. First, the seed. The grass seed. Always start out with new, fresh grass seed. Mm-hmm. Try to get a good quality grass seed. There's a lot of different grass seeds out there. I like to get one that has a mixture of several different species. Some like sun, some like shade, some like dry, some like wet. So if you get a good mixture of Kentucky bluegrasses and fescue and rye, those three different varieties, you're bound to end up with one that's going to colonize your lawn and continue to grow well.
I bought it was blue, first of all, the blue seeds.
Okay. Well, they were treated with a fungicide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it said for Pennsylvania grass.
For Pennsylvania grass?
Yeah.
Okay. That should have been a good variety, as long as it wasn't the old, you know, sometimes.
No, brand new, $20.
$20, yeah.
Down the drain. I didn't take.
Like Kentucky bluegrass, and there's a lot of different types of Kentucky bluegrass. They're also known as POA, P-O-A. So if you see that listed on the ingredient, this is what you should look forward to. It's a good-looking grass, but it takes a long time to germinate. It can take up to a month to germinate. So you'll have to take care of the watering for a long period of time. Now, ryegrass, that's real thin bladed, and it's also a beautiful grass, and it spreads quite easily, usually by clump forming. Kentucky bluegrass spreads by runners, so it even helps fill in the bald spots itself. Fescue, that's what I wanted to go to next, is a clump forming, so it increases by expanding its clump of grass. So it's a little bit slower of filling in bald spots, but it's a good grass, and it can accept shady, dry areas. Now, rye can be kind of a thick-bladed grass, and it will also spread by underground runners, so it fills in quite quickly. And both of those germinate quickly, too. The fescue can germinate within a week. The rye can germinate within just a few days. So keep all those things in mind when you're seeding your grass. But if you get a good mix with all three varieties in it, remember that bluegrass takes about a month. So you're going to have to really water, even though some of the grass seed is up already. You still continue to water because you want to get that bluegrass to germinate also. Unless, you know, we get a good heavy dew every morning, and then we don't really have to water so much.
Now, here's what frightens me when you mention all these different types of grasses. It's overwhelming. Well, how do you know it's going to blend with the grass you already have? I'm patching bald spots. Is it going to stick out like a sore thumb if it's a completely different species of grass?
It will, no matter what, to begin with. New grass is going to be a little different.
Well, I know it's going to be like the light green and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But eventually, is it going to be a completely, I guess it's a completely different like thickness and, you know,
it can be, yeah, it can be.
Uh-huh.
And but to most of us, you know, we're not trying to create a golf course.
Okay.
So over time.
It'll look good from the street.
Yeah, over time, they'll blend in together.
The curb appeal will be there, but if you walk right up on it like, hey, that's a different species, what are you trying to pull here?
Yeah, and that's fine, you know.
Yeah.
Most of us don't try to create a golf course. If you're trying to create a golf course, it's going to be a whole lot more involved. But for our typical lawn, to make it easy mow, over time, and it may take a year or two, it will all blend together, and it'll look like all the same grass with weeds.
What kind of grass do the construction companies use? Like just for a cheap, real quick, you know?
They like to use rye grass.
Rye?
Yeah.
Is that
because
like
it's real
the fastest,
quick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fastest
and,
growing.
And understandably, you know, because they don't have anybody to go there and water every day.
Yep.
And care for it, you know. So they
and it needs to look good quick.
And it needs to look good quick. Mm-hmm. And a lot of construction sites, they need to ensure that there's not going to be a lot of erosion. So ryegrass comes up very quickly. You know, that's a good one. If you're doing a bank or a hillside, you'll want to use mostly rye. But I'm still going to suggest with a little bit of the fescue and the Kentucky bluegrass in there too. A mix is always real helpful to use. And make sure it's a good mix. You know, don't hunt around and say, well, geez, this is only $5 a bag compared to $20 a bag. You get what you pay for.
Okay. Now, if you that are listening have a question, you've heard some of my questions. I'm sure you have yours. Phone lines are open, 814-368-9372. We're on Facebook Live as well, so you can make a comment there, and we'll check up there and read your question. And we have email, too. garden@wesb.com, and we can get to that a little bit later. I didn't want to change the topic on you, so you know, just for an email. But if you are listening at home and want to talk about anything other than grass, please feel free to do that.
So another couple pointers about grass. It has different growth spurts. Early in the spring, it can grow a quarter inch a day. Get into August and September, it'll slow right down. It may only grow a quarter inch every 3-4 days. So adjust your mowing habits too. You may have to mow every 5 days in the spring, but then come August and September, we're going to mow maybe once every week and a half even. So don't get discouraged and say, geez, this is a pain in the butt because I got to mow every 5 days. You know?
Yeah.
Another point with mowing your grass shorter doesn't give you more time to the next mow.
Oh, yeah.
Because no matter what height you mow the lawn, it's still going to grow at a quarter inch a day. I know a lot of people believe that I'll mow it real short and that way I can let it go for an extra week. And you probably could, but it's going to look a little unsightly because most yards are a mixture of different grasses. Some grow a little quicker than others. So you'll have maybe tall ryegrass in there and then shorter Kentucky bluegrass. And so it looks uneven, like a bad haircut. So mowing it real short does not benefit you and your mower.
When's the last time you had a bad haircut? Probably about as long as I did.
Yeah. It's hard to.
Two bald guys here.
Yeah, hard to give me a bad haircut.
Hey, let's take a short break and we'll be back with the audience questions and more tips. And you even brought some show and tell.
I sure did.
So we'll get to the flowers that Bob brought in and we'll be back in 30 seconds. Thanks to our sponsor, Worth W. Smith Hardware, making the show possible. The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
It's time to start tackling your springtime projects. That means a few trips to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. You'll find plenty of railroad ties and lumber in stock, blue plastic barrels, and of course all the gardening tools and grass seeds you'll need. Now at Worth W. Smith, check out their new Blackstone griddles. Remember to fill up your propane tanks too. And if you're thinking of getting an air conditioner this summer, get it now while the selection is best. As always, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And welcome back to the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. Bob was just asking me, weren't you the one that was trying to cut your grass too short? Because you didn't want to do it so often. Yeah, once upon a time, I suppose. That's when I was renting. Now I own.
Here's another point.
I matured a little bit.
Another point about cutting your grass short, too. And I don't mean to dwell on it too much. You know, if you are successful that way, fine, do it that way. But also, you know, the longer the grass blade gets, the more sunlight it can collect. The more sunlight it can collect, the more food it can make for the roots. And the the longer the roots are and the more food there is in those roots, the stronger it is, so it can withstand those hot, dry periods or really overly wet periods. If you keep your grass real short all the time, you do stand a chance of some stress at certain times of the year. Okay. And you also expose the soil to a lot of sunlight, and that sunlight makes it easy for a lot of the weed seeds to germinate. So a taller grass, I like to keep mine and any lawn I take care of about 3 inches, maybe 3.5 inches. That blocks out, that shades the soil, that conserves moisture, and it blocks out the sunlight. So a lot of those weed seeds can't germinate in the shade. So that's another reason to let your lawn get a little bit high and maybe keep it high.
Mm-hmm.
Until a certain time of year. In the fall, we want to start cutting it short again.
Phone lines are open, 814-368-9372. And we're going to go to an email first.
All right.
Well, you know what? Hold on. We got somebody call. Maybe we'll do the call first. I hate to make them wait. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The email will be there. So let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Question as far as gardening with vegetables. I have 3 above-ground garden boxes, and I've used them. This will probably be the 3rd season. And do I need to replace the dirt? All the dirt I got was bagged dirt at Walmart, Home Depot, and such. Does that stress out, and do you need to replace it, or can you just kick something in it to revitalize it a little bit?
Yeah, that does deplete that soil. The bagged soil that you buy, like, the Miracle-Gro and so on, great stuff. But it isn't really soil. It's mostly peat moss and a little bit of compost and a whole bunch of styrofoam or perlite in it with vermiculite, all different materials. There's really no soil in bag soil. So after a year of growing in it, yeah, it does get depleted. It's not holding the moisture like it should. It's not, doesn't have any fertilizer left in it, and it's not real beneficial to the plant. So it is a good idea if you can add compost to it at about 50%, then you'll revitalize it, you'll have great beds again. Or the other way is to just dig it all out, add that to the compost pile, or fill in those low spots in your yard with it and add all new. You can do it either way, you know, whatever works for you.
Well, I've had really good success with growing multiple vegetables with it the last couple of years, and someone told me, well, it's dirt, it won't deplete itself, but you just kind of contradicted that point.
Yeah.
And I believe what you say. Now, would I be able to get away with just a little bit of fertilizer and just adding more dirt to it instead of ripping it all out of there, or do I need to replace it all?
No, you don't have to replace it all. Yeah, you can just add some material to it. Like I said, compost, cow manure, good soil, peat moss. Add everything you can to it, and you'll revitalize it. And some fertilizer. Some of that dry fertilizer, the 10-10-10, is a good idea.
Okay, I'll get with that. Hey, thank you for your time, gentlemen. I enjoy your show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right, have a great weekend, and good luck on your gardening.
And I know a lot of us are tempted to do that, reuse our bag soil in containers, because it is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But to have a real good plant and to make us feel good, you know, when we have a good plant, it really should be replaced every year. Now, our regular garden soil, that doesn't. Nature takes care of it. There's always leaves falling in it. We're probably always throwing grass clippings and our compost in it, and maybe old mulch or sawdust, you know. So we're always adding to it and revitalizing it and keeping it healthy. But the bag soil, again, there's really no soil in it. Now, I highly recommend it for containers. You don't want to use garden soil in a container. That's a whole different environment. It just doesn't act right there for a lot of different reasons. So the bag soil is great for containers. So keep that in mind, that save a few bucks so you can buy that new bag, or if you're able to revitalize it.
All right, great. Let's get to the email, garden@wesb.com. And this is from Robert. He said, this has been coming up in my backyard for 3 years. Do you know what it is? Let's blow that closer picture. I have it here. It looks like Judd Clampett shot at some food and up from a ground come a bubbling crude.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, geez, I have no idea.
It's like a puddle of black goo. It's like the creature from the swamp thing or something.
And that's totally possible here in Bradford, you know, with the oil industry, that maybe it is just old oil and bubbling up, because it can bubble up from underground once in a while. And you know, that's just a wild guess.
You struck it rich.
Yeah.
No.
One thing you could do is just take a little bit of it and see if it'll burn. I wouldn't do it right there, but take a little clump of it away from the area and see if it'll burn. Then you'll know whether it is old oil or...
Maybe even looks like a puddle mixed with... Could that be mold?
Yeah, it could very well be mold, yep. That just could be an extremely wet spot, although it looks kind of small to me, a small spot. Another fix would be to just dig it all out and add some fresh soil and see what happens there. See if nothing bubbles up again or... Yeah, it's...
Yeah, that looks like a sludgy...
It does look sludgy, yeah.
Hmm. All right, well, it's a mystery.
Yes, it is. I don't see any disease going on there, because the disease, all the grass that's growing right at the edge of it looks extremely healthy, so I wouldn't be concerned with any disease. I don't know of any animal that may do that. I just have a sneaky suspicion that it may be a little spot of old oil. And okay. That can... Even though a well isn't close by.
I was just making a joke.
Oh.
I just wanted to use the Judd Clampett thing.
It could still have been underground, and it can eventually boil up to the surface.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, geez. I hope that's not the case, that there's a broken pipe and it's like, you know, escaping out.
Yeah. So it's a good idea to do a little investigation. I dig that area up and...
Put your finger in it and smell it. Lick it. Give it a little taste. All right. Garden@WESB.com to get your email to Bob, or 814-368-9372. Got about 3 minutes left.
Oh, gee.
So we better get to our show and tell, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe you could see that I have a nice white geranium and a red geranium. And then over here is a sunshine impatient, or New Guinea impatient.
That's beautiful. What is that, like a violet purple or a... Yeah. What color is that?
Yeah, it's a really nice color.
It's pink, purple, blurple.
It's violet.
Violet, okay.
Yeah, it's a deep, deep violet. Beautiful, and with the dark leaves. Now, impatiens will come in a lot of different flower colors, but also in a dark colored leaf and also a green colored leaf. So they're real nice, and they'll grow both sun and shade, but that's... Where they're most well known is it's an impatient that will grow in the sun with a very large flower. You know, the flower is about the size of a silver dollar. So it's a very large flower.
These are annuals?
They're annual, okay. Yes, all of these. And the geraniums, you know, I talked about that. You just can't beat a geranium. They come in the reds, the deep reds, all shades of reds and white. Pink and violet.
Mm-hmm.
and that's about it. There is no yellow. There is kind of a purpley one. But they're a great plant. And the neat thing about the white flowering one is what I really wanted to mention is it has more geranium oil in it than the other geraniums. They all have that oil in them that is deadly to a lot of insects.
Mm.
And it's kind of neat to watch. You know, a couple of these on your deck will help keep insects away, like mosquitoes, fleas, and ticks, and all that. But what really always tickles me is the Japanese beetle that we all had trouble with. A Japanese beetle will take one bite of the leaf and die immediately.
Whoa, really?
So it's pretty neat there to watch that.
Now you're sounding like a sociopath.
I guess so, yeah.
Watch him, he's going to die.
Yeah. But we all fight those Japanese beetles, and they're such a hassle. So this is one way, one thing that we can do to keep that beetle population down. And along with, it's a great plant. As a matter of fact, don't be afraid. You know, a geranium can last for years and years. If we dig it up in the fall, we can bring it into the house. They make great house plants. Do a little bit of pruning on it. And then come spring, we can plant it out. And we can do that for several years. Keep that same geranium. And every year, it'll get bigger and better every year for us.
And harder to move.
And harder to move, yeah. Now, they'll never get very hard to move.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are great looking. I mean, those are, I'm really loving just the vibrance of that violet one.
Oh, yeah.
I got to take a picture of that and show my wife. Like, okay. Hey, do you want to get some of these? We're shopping around.
They also come in coral, same with the geranium.
It's just overwhelming, you know? We go to the greenhouse and look around. It's like, geez. And then we leave empty-handed because we're overwhelmed. We don't know what to get.
It can be, yeah. So it's always a great idea to kind of make a plan.
Yeah.
A color scheme, even, and try to stick to it. Because, yeah, you're right. It can be overwhelming when you walk into a greenhouse. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
I like it all.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
So, all right, great. Well, we're just about out of time here today.
Oh, darn.
So if you wanted to see what we were talking about, of course, you could see it on Facebook. We're live, but it'll be on facebook.com/WESB1075, so you can watch it on demand. And if you want to hear the show on demand, well, that's at WESB.com on the Listen tab.
I'm hoping that guy calls back after he plays around and tries to discover what that thing in his lawn is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now we're curious.
Yeah.
Is it oil or is it, what is it? Sludge. I don't know. Okay. Well, we'll see you again next week right here on B107.5 and The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. Have a great weekend, Bob.
Thanks.
All right.